live.
Oh, no. So they tape that before SmackDown and then air it after?
I think so.
Or I wonder if they do it after. It seems like if they recorded or if they broadcast that immediately following SmackDown and actually did it live.
Yeah, I guess there's a little tape delay or something.
Yeah. I imagine, like, people would see, like, oh, well, we saw SmackDown, now let's go home. And then you'd have, like, wrestling happening while people are leaving.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's... So it was apparently replaced Superstars on
the
taping thing.
Yeah, I saw Superstars was done.
R.I.P. Superstars.
Yeah.
Tuesday.
It is Toker Tuesday.
Fucking A. Ooh, no commission baccarat.
Ah.
That's the kind of gambling I can get into.
We're going to Cash Creek. Take that commission and stuff it up your backside.
Hell yeah.
Other casinos.
Pull it out your rear.
Uh-huh. I am a fan of rappers, mostly Kendrick Lamar, shouting doot 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 to imply a gun being fired.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of that.
What about like a boop 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 boop?
Oh yeah, oh, of course.
Yeah, classic.
Of course, yeah. Brrrah, brrrah, brrrah. I mean, that's less, I don't know.
That's like a machine gun.
I guess so, yeah.
What about Booyaka, Booyaka?
No,
619.
No, no, nope.
No?
Never really been a...
That's a shame.
Not really been a big Booyah guy, and a Booyaka guy, especially.
All right. Well, that's fair. It's not to everyone's taste.
I like a nice Blaka, Blaka! That's all right.
Yeah, I don't
get that very often.
I don't think I can pull that off.
Yeah. But I it's really, you know, a relatively recent addition to the canon, really.
Yeah, you know, the old ways are getting a little stale.
Sure. You gotta change it up. Keep it fresh. You gotta stay fresh. There's one thing I've learned.
Only the freshest MC survive.
Exactly.
Yeah, fuck your podcast.
Yeah, fuck your podcast. Yep, magazine, blogs, whatever you got. Fuck it.
Your lock icon keeps popping up.
That's because you're hitting the switch over here.
I am?
Yeah. The switch here must be loose or something. It's a long day.
Yes. Game of the year action has begun.
Yeah. Got some production in, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. You got the Last Guardian in today.
Yeah? Okay.
It's a game.
Are you sure?
I did put the disc in. It did load up. It was not just a copy of The Order. I can't say anything about it at this point on account of embargoes, but it's a game.
But it's not The Order?
It is not The Order.
All right. good.
Yeah.
Even if I'm not necessarily personally too interested in that game, I am happy to have it come out so that the world can find some peace.
Move on.
Move on.
Ueda can move on with his career wherever that lands him.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't been at Sony officially for like 2 years now,
something
right?
Something like that. I lost track of what all that stuff even was.
I think he officially left the company, but stayed on as like a contract employee to finish the game. But I assume he will go do his own thing after this.
Do anything while you're in town?
Not
see
really.
Anybody or does anyone still live around here?
Yeah. So like my best friend from school growing up, he's still in town. I might try and grab dinner with him some night. But no, not really. Like I think I might meet up with Bakun at some point this weekend.
Oh, is he local?
He lives in San Francisco. Huh. Yeah. That's kind of it. Like, I did most of the family stuff already, so I'm not really beholden to any of that anymore. Yeah, I don't try to book a lot of social engagements in these trips, because I never know when I'm getting home.
Yep.
And when I am, I'm usually so wiped, I just want to go lay down for an hour before actually passing out.
Yep.
But I do actually have a weekend this time, so I might try and do some stuff this weekend.
That's the face of happy right there. On this bus. It says so right next to it.
It does appear to be smiling, so I can't find any fault with this assertion.
So I think my favorite thing on this album is that beeping noise.
A little beep at the...
Yeah.
I like the Willy Wonka sample in the first track.
Yeah, yeah.
R.I.P. Gene Wilder. Was Fife Dog this year, or was that last year?
It was this year.
Jesus. A rough year for just people you admired growing up dying. Fidel Castro, for instance.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He's the man who taught me that it's okay to be weird.
Yeah, certainly mixed feelings on the year.
Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure they're really that mixed for me.
Well, I got married, and it's awesome.
Yes.
So
I can see why that would be a good...
Like, that's the...
That was sort of where it peaked, I think, for you.
Yeah, like it's one of those things where we're going to remember this year for a long time, and we were already thinking that way, and then all this other stuff, and now it's like, well, fucking great.
It's also telling that in my mind that felt like 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
That felt like a whole other time.
Yep.
Before we really knew what was in store for us.
Yeah, I think that, like, we were saying the other night, it feels like we've been married for a long time. Like, it doesn't feel like 10 months or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And that part of this year has been the best year of years.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, so much stuff surrounding it has been the absolute fucking worst. Year of very fucking crazy swings, I guess. For me, yeah. Obviously. For me and Drake.
Yes.
My wife.
Yeah, just no more monkey's paw wishes from here on out.
Sure,
please.
Okay, all right.
That's all I ask.
I'll do what I can. Keep thinking about, you're saying Brandon Stroud is doing a WCW rewatch,
and yeah, he's been doing that for a while.
Yeah, like, does he skip around, or is it always kind of like in order?
So he's been doing Nitro in order and the pay-per-views,
right?
I think there isn't a lot of Thunder up on the network, so they've mostly been, so he's been skipping that.
Nothing ever happened on Thunder, so
yeah,
it's fine.
But yeah, he's been doing every Nitro in order. With the pay-per-views interspliced in between.
I was thinking about doing that.
It's been a hell of a ride so far.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like, just his recaps are enough, I think, for me. I don't know if I actually need to go back and watch a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, maybe I should just go read that. long, like, has he been doing it for a long time?
Yeah, I think he started, last year.
Okay. So if there's just a grip of him to read.
There is.
Okay, great. Maybe I'll just read that. That sounds way more economical.
Yeah, I think he's up to, like, 97 right now.
Okay.
I don't remember what the last one he covered was of note. The last big storyline I remember him covering was the Roddy Piper against the NWO bit that went absolutely nowhere.
That was the match that happened at Halloween Havoc.
Right.
The main for that was Hogan Piper in a cage.
So I think he's past that.
Okay. So that's the stuff I was watching. Was Halloween Havoc and then World War III's after that and then Starcade's after that. And then that's like, I think their December pay-per-view. So that's like the end of 97.
And then 98 is where it all starts getting real weird.
And
like weirder.
Like, yeah, like 98 was probably where I stopped watching WCW at all.
I think I just saw Dave Snyder walking up the sidewalk.
Certainly possible.
Like 99% sure that was Dave Snyder. Yeah, 98 was around the time when I started watching WWE more often. I was kind of watching both in 97. I was mostly watching WCW in 96. And then I kind of stopped watching WCW regularly, I think, in, like, mid-98.
Yeah, maybe. I wasn't watching WWE much at all. Because I don't know. It wasn't fucking gritty and fucking real.
The reason I made the switch was that was when people started migrating from WCW over.
I guess now that I think about it, like, I watched Jericho debut in WWE.
Yes.
So, I guess at some point I did switch.
Yeah, I remember when Jericho went. I remember when Big Show was Paul White.
Right, yeah, right.
And then I think it was like late 98 when, or maybe 99, when the Radicals showed up.
Yeah. And I watched that last night of WCW, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, I mean, I was still watching occasionally. Yeah. I was mostly watching Raw by the time WCW finally wrapped up.
I think at some point I stopped. At some point I was just reading recaps or something. Like, I was just reading wrestling sites and not watching the shows that much.
Right.
I had, shall we say, access to pay-per-view programming.
Right.
So there was definitely a lot of that sort of stuff that I was watching, even if I wasn't watching the weekly shows.
Yep.
Like, I remember I watched the whatever fucking pay-per-view it was. Like, I just happened to be watching whatever pay-per-view it was when fucking Russo came out and fucking screamed on Hogan.
Yep.
Like, me and Mike Headley watched that live. I don't remember a lot of stuff around. Like, I just none of the WCW stuff, even from the time. It really
is. And you remember like a few specific feuds, but like most.
Right, like you moke. Like, you know, just like the big moments that they have since beat into the ground.
And, you know, when the wrestling was good, you remember the, you know, Benoit and Guerrero stuff. And
see, like, I was so not watching wrestling for that at all that, like, that was just totally lost on me.
But a lot of it was just extremely forgettable.
Yeah.
It was just a sea of fucking Public Enemy and Jerry Flynn matches.
Right. Yep.
High Voltage.
Who was High Voltage?
They were a tag team that mostly lost.
Well, of course, yeah.
Like, even to Public Enemy.
I'm just trying to think, like, who were the members of High Voltage?
No idea.
Was it anyone?
Me. Singlets.
I thought maybe it was, like, two singles guys that they smashed together or something, but...
I think they'd been around for... Oh, they'd been kicking around the WCW system for a while.
Yeah.
They might have been, like, power plant graduates or whatever.
Right.
Fucking, like, Ice Train.
Yeah. I remember, like, buying ECW pay-per-views when those started airing, even though there was no way to watch their show in California.
Yes.
So it was just, like, totally out of context watching these crazy shows.
I think the only ECW I watched for a long time was with you.
Mm, yeah.
And ECW was sort of the opposite thing, where it's like you didn't... There were storylines, but that was beside the point, because everything happening was just such fucking insane chaos.
Right.
That that's all
like
you
wanted. I just wanted to see New Jack come out, and I wanted to hear Natural Born Killers play...
For like 15
minutes. For 15 minutes on a loop, as he fucking... From the moment he walked out to the moment he disappeared... Like, that's... Whoever had that idea, really...
Finger on the pulse.
There was the real genius behind ECW. Maybe that was Paul Heyman. I don't know.
Yeah. But
whoever it was that said, no, just keep the music going. Like, for whatever reason they did it, I don't know, but...
Trying to go back to it now, it's hard.
Yeah, man.
Like, there are matches that still, I think, hold up, but, like, by and large, that product is just so of its time.
And I feel like it's hard to follow. Like, it seemed like a lot of their storyline stuff would happen on non-televised shows or whatever it was, but,
right.
Like, the weekly... Like, if you go back and watch what they put up as, like, you know, what is it, like, ECW Hardcore TV or whatever it
right.
was.
Just scattered episodes,
right,
so they
right,
probably...
Right. Maybe they filled it out.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, going and trying to watch a couple of those episodes and just being like, okay, like, this stuff is so poorly strung together, it's really hard to get a sense of where anything's going. Like, Joey Styles is doing the best he can with, like, a lot of really weird shit that is, you know, and these are all bad recordings of this, so it's just, it's really hard to follow.
Yeah, and there's just something about, like, I know there's only so much they can do for the network, but it's like... I don't know, man. We were watching those shows and, like, you know, they were using licensed music when they clearly were not
yep.
supposed to be.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, it was just, like, everything about it felt just, like, so strung together and fucking, you know, I don't know, dangerous.
Yep.
And just, like, kind of trying to go back to it now, it just doesn't have any of that air about it.
It's why I kept my TiVo-ripped version of that first ECW One Night Stand pay-per-view, is because all the releases of that have totally different music.
Yep. When you see Rob Van Dam come out, you want to hear Walk, you know?
Yeah. So, I don't know what the fuck the deal is, but Halloween Havoc 97, Jericho comes out, and they dub in his current... Or they dub in his, like, WWE music over it, and I wonder why.
I wonder if it was, like, some... pre-old license-free thing that they no longer had access to.
Yeah, maybe.
So I feel like, because they didn't, I don't think they had, Jimmy Hart, who was doing some stuff,
yeah.
but they were also pulling in a lot of, like, really random generic music for people that they didn't want to actually
yeah.
have Jimmy Hart write music
for. It's why you heard the Harlem Heat music on an episode of Kids in the Hall.
Yes.
Which was a real fucking weird thing.
Power. That is Sam's favorite Kids in the Hall sketch, and it's
great.
Pretty close to mine, too.
And also it's the Harlem Heat music, so it's, like, that much better.
Yeah, shit like that will just pop up. Like, every once in a while, I'll be watching football, and, like, the fucking old, like, Hardy Boys music will play or something. Huh. There was a period where, like, some of that old WWE music was getting licensed out.
Thank you. similar note, there's some of the entrance videos are just built off of free Adobe After Effects templates.
Yes.
Like the End Zone Cast one, I think, comes just out of a YouTube video that is just the...
They just shoved some text in there, and that was it.
Yeah, it's a lot of good weird stuff like that with that royalty-free shit, where, like, the shop music from Saints Row the Third, or, like, the when you're in your base and picking cars and all that other stuff, like, NBA on TNT was using that music for a while or something. It was just, like, this really weird thing.
Very recently we discovered that a construction equipment company was using the Beast Cats music for their ads.
Oh, awesome.
Audio network, baby.
Yeah. Some golf game he's locked in.
Fuck.
It's nothing sacred.
The most recent NHL game, they had a ton of audio network stuff in there, too. Oh. For, like, you know, goal songs and shit if you wanted to customize it.
Oh, no. Huh. Part of why I enjoyed producing the ads for the podcast when I used to edit the podcast was that I got to go on Audio Network and just search for songs that I felt would be appropriate for whatever this product or service. Like going to Audio Network and just searching like commerce.
Yep.
Just like... going to do it tonight, but I kind of want to do some streaming from home pretty soon here.
Mm-hmm.
I got this camera that does background removal. So it's like a fake green screen. So I can truly take things to a much more professional level.
Nice.
Hey, having a scrolling background behind your video the entire time you're doing it made me feel sick. I'll admit there's some small part of me that is just kind of like, eh.
How far can you take it?
Yeah.
Always testing limits.
That's me. I'm pushing buttons.
You're an only child.
I'm asking the tough questions.
It's what we do.
I want to stack on filters that don't exist in OBS yet. Like, I wish I had more ability to fuck up the image.
It's good to have goals.
Yeah. OBS needs a random button. You hit it and it just tweaks a bunch of values and then you just go from there. Or maybe that's just okay.
Yeah, I gotta learn OBS better because because I would also like to do some home streaming at some point.
That's fun.
Yeah, and the couple times I've used it, it seems like it's actually pretty straightforward. I just haven't gotten used to it yet.
Yeah, well, it's definitely like, you get everything set up the way you like it, and then something changes with what you're using or what you're streaming, or like, for like Extra Life, it was like, oh, well, I want to have this border around it with all the donation stuff. And now I need to rebuild all of this from scratch. And there are some apps that I've just been unable to get to work properly in OBS, which is frustrating. So I have to use different emulators and stuff to get things working just how I like it. Titanfall DLC comes out tomorrow, or the Titanfall patch that adds stuff.
It's just more maps and skins?
It's one map. It's a remake of the map from the first game. And I guess that only pre-order people can play that tomorrow. It's like 3 days before it goes out to everybody. But they're also, like, they're adding new gear for the Titans, and then adding their in-game store for skins.
Mm.
And I really want to see how all that stuff looks.
Cocaine Moon says it's already out on PC.
That, well. They sent me a code today for PS4 because I did not pre-order the game. So they sent me a code for the game that was not a pre-order or whatever. So
chapter from the end. I just haven't sat down to actually finish it yet.
Last couple of bits in that game are real strong. Some of my favorite stuff.
Yeah, the one, I think the last part that kind of tripped me up was the thing where you're kind of in the, like, the construction area with all the cranes where you're moving those wall things around.
Yeah,
that shit was actually pretty hard. But I got through it.
Mm.
Game wasn't really that challenging up to that point. Like, cool and, like, some neat sequences and stuff, but, like, I feel like I only died every once in a while.
I guess I died a lot around there my first time through. Now that I think about it, like, I would run around corners and try to hide. It's like, you know, I just was not on my game as well as I was the second time I played through the campaign. That was interesting. I played through that campaign once and then, like, came away from going like, oh, that was neat. There's some cool stuff in there. And then, like, a little bit before the review ran, I played through the whole campaign again. And, like, liked it way more. Like, wait a minute, no, that actually, now that I really play through, like
now that I can kind of sit and drink in the detail of it.
Yeah, now that I'm not playing this on, like, a fucking time frame, like, wait a minute, this is actually fucking awesome. Played a match of that last night and played like garbage. I'm starting to worry that, like, being busy and not being able to play as much of that game as I would like is going to lead to me being bad at it. Like, other people getting better at it and I can't keep up or something.
I mean, that's how it always is with these multiplayer games.
Yep.
The only reason I've kept up with Overwatch is because I've been able to keep up with Overwatch. Like, it's the one game I'm kind of willing to clear some time for to play. But yeah, like, I can already feel my attempts to jump back into Titanfall multiplayer and such, like, waning.
Eh, maybe we'll do something with that stuff tomorrow. I don't know.
I think we have a little time tomorrow.
We might be able to cram it into the schedule. We've got a 100% lockdown categories.
Yes. Like tomorrow.
Like tomorrow. They're going to record that Final Fantasy quick look in the morning. Might be a good time to...
Yeah, I'll stare at that spreadsheet some tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, because then we need to break that category list out and start throwing games on all those categories just as starting points for those discussions.
Right. That's...
Don't have much time to do that, I guess. Looks like Stardew Valley is going to eke its way out onto console just before the end of the year.
13th and 14th. When those different versions are coming out.
Yeah. I want to try and play some more Dragon Quest Builders.
Sure. I heard that game is neat.
I'm going to hit them up. Have you played that?
No.
Do you want to?
Maybe.
So I think I'm going to hit him up in the context of Game of the Year stuff.
Yeah, if there are codes, I'll definitely check it out. I don't think I've played a Dragon Quest game since, SNES era Dragon Quest.
This game is full of, references to the first game, which is kind of strange.
Yeah.
After all these years. And I need to spend some time staring at Final Fantasy XV, I guess. That whole thing is fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that I don't know that I have any time for. But
right.
At the same time, there's just something about it that I really want to see.
I think it was Austin was talking about it on their podcast, and I think the quote he said was, "It feels like the main characters in that game are in a completely different game from everything else happening." Mm. And I think that sort of is that's my fascination with it.
Yeah.
Is you're trying to do this Final Fantasy-ass Final Fantasy thing with these characters in this world that just does not seem like any other Final Fantasy game that I have played or seen.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, for me, it's there's that aspect, but also just, the nature of the combat in that game and kind of
right.
How it plays and stuff. It just seems...
And the whole pacing of that game just seems bizarre,
yeah.
But maybe in a cool way.
Yeah, I don't know. I always, I thought Versus 13 looked cool back in the day. That's something about that game poked out at me all along. I don't really know why. It was the idea of a more action-y game.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Lord knows 13 itself didn't do it.
Oh, hell no.
13 was maybe the angriest I've ever seen Final Fantasy fans at a game. Mm. And that's saying a lot, because there's a lot of self-abuse in the Final Fantasy fandom.
Sure.
But yeah, a lot of those people seem like they're actually having a good time with this one. People I know from the internet who are not traditionally people I know to be big into video games have suddenly started coming out of the woodwork and be like, should I buy a PS4 so I can play Final Fantasy 15?
It's maybe
I mean you should probably buy a PS4 anyway, but yeah, that's a reason.
Is it out now? Is Watch Dogs out on PC now?
I don't know. Was that a staggered release?
Yeah. They sent me a code for it a couple of days ago. I just haven't had time to even fucking think about it. But I wonder how that port is. how that version of the game.
Yeah.
That seems like that would be a fun game to cheat in and do weird stuff in.
Totally. Yeah, but people can mod some real dumb shit in that game.
Yeah. But I wonder if it's kind of always online, like, seamless multiplayer stuff would just break it that way.
Right.
It would be like, oh, someone connected. Oh, it immediately desynced and broke everything. Like, oh, okay.
And that shit off.
Yeah.
Do that anyway. CyberKN's talking about some quotes from a guy at Capcom Vancouver about Dead Rising 4 that sound like they're maybe not good.
Huh.
That game kind of just snuck out there, or is sneaking out there.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Right, I gotta look at that too before we start talking Game of the Year stuff.
Yes. I did like Dead Rising 3 a fair amount.
I didn't. There are things I liked about it more than I thought I would. But at the end of the day, I got really bored with that game really fast. And they released that crazy DLC, and I was like, oh man, I'll go back to that and play that. That looks fun. And then messed with that a couple times and went like, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, I never beat 3, but I got pretty far into it.
Yeah, I do not remember that game fondly.
That's how I kind of feel about 2. I didn't like 2.
I see where you're coming from. I would probably say that I liked 2, but...
Coming from 1, which was just such a weird, aberrant thing,
yeah.
2 just felt a little like, this is schlocky in ways that I don't really want this game to be. Okay, here's the quote. The message behind the game is around consumerism and Black Friday, and we're asking, who is the monster? The zombies running around? Or is it what caused everyone to fight each other and demand these products and services? I often say this is not the thinking man's game, but there are some messages in there that might make you think a little bit more than usual. One of our goals is to really make a product that means we can make Dead Rising 5, 6, 7. That involves expanding and changing the franchise. And therefore, sometimes we need to take risks. That means some people will be upset with what you did. The only way to truly tell if we made the right choices is to play the game. That's a lot of word salad.
Yeah, it is.
That feels a little bit like we don't trust the audience to get what would probably actually be a very obvious message, and also we really want to be able to make more of these, please God, buy this.
There's something, I mean, yeah, I bet that game really hits you over the head with it, because...
Subtlety is not
subtle.
No.
But there is something about use these items you got for Black Friday and combine them into horrible zombie-killing weapons that could at least be funny.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I like Frank West as a character, so, you know, I'm happy to see him back. I hope it's still Frank West.
They changed the voice, and I think there's no photography in that game.
As long as he's still a gruff asshole, that's all I really want.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I'm not married to the voice.
Yeah.
Either. But, we'll see. I tend to agree with the idea that you have to fucking take risks and do things. It's probably not the answer either.
No.
So...
I don't think you can make a game like Dead Rising 1 now.
No.
Because that game really was kind of mean in a way that big games aren't really allowed to be anymore.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Dark Souls as like, hey, some segment of the audience has an appetite for difficult games and games that are... that reward patience and all that sort of stuff. And
sure.
Maybe you could try to build...
But you kind of have to build out your own little cottage industry for that.
Yeah, it's kind of its own thing. Like, tapping Dead Rising into the Dark Souls phenomenon
doesn't seem like the actual answer either.
No.
I don't know what, if at some point, if you came to me and said, hey, make a new Dead Rising game, I don't know what the fuck I would do.
I think Dead Rising 1 is maybe among the most stressed I've ever been reviewing a game.
Mm.
Just because of the way that game was structured and the, difficulty spikes with the psychos and all that stuff. It wasn't, it's not really a horror game in the sense that everything's so cartoonish, but, I remember being really freaked out while I was playing it because I was just like, fuck. I was running into all these walls playing it.
Yeah. Also, the idea of kind of pulling the Walking Dead card of who are the real monsters.
Yeah.
I guess that's maybe just the standard zombie fiction card.
I also feel like that question has been answered time and time again. It's like, yeah, no, we're the real monsters. We get it. Yeah, totally are. You're right.
It's not Eric Pope's Dead Rising. At least not yet.
That is some David Cage. Well, unlike Blade Runner, God, what was that quote? It was so bad. He basically just didn't understand the whole premise of Blade Runner while quoting fucking Blade Runner.
Yeah. Sounds like a very David Cage thing to do.
Yeah. I think David Cage consumes entertainment the way I consumed entertainment when I was 14. Which is that I didn't really look for the themes or anything deeper than the surface level story.
Mm-hmm.
And then, at some point I started to think more and started to understand that stuff, and I'm not sure that he ever did.
Sometimes I'm not sure that I ever did with movies and stuff like that. At some point I don't know that I ever...
I mean, not every movie is worth doing that with.
Sure, sure. At some point, when asked to engage with the medium, my answer is I don't know.
I just have these games. I just play these games.
Oh, games, games I tend to...
No, I'm saying instead of engaging with that medium, why don't you just play these video games?
Yes. Yeah. I feel like movies, if anything, have become, escapism in a way where it's I'm just going to kind of just not think about this and just take it in.
Yeah.
Because I'm not reviewing any of this, and I don't have to.
And, there are plenty of movies where that's a perfectly acceptable way to approach them,
Yeah.
Kojima's going to be at PSX.
Yeah. At PSX.
Okay. Yeah, he's doing a panel there, apparently. Mm.
I feel like outreach people saying, like very much like, hey, we're booking appointments for our game at PSX. When do you want to see it? Like, extremely presumptive about the notion of going, of, oh, you're definitely going. Like, it struck me as really strange. So I wrote back and said, like, we're not going. We're producing our year-end stuff. It's not, like there will be interesting announcements in that keynote. But not necessarily a big news press event thing.
Yeah.
Got confused. I don't know.
We all want Knack 2.
Yes, everyone wants Knack 2. Knack VR.
Please, Mark Cerny, answer our prayers. Bring back Knack, the most beloved of characters.
They should give Knack to everyone that attends.
Like the rights to Knack?
Yes.
Everyone there gets a piece of Knack?
What are we going to do next with Knack? Do you want another Knack? Yeah! Are you going to shout yeah to anything we say up here? Yeah! Okay. We're going to base all our business decisions off of you yelling yeah, then.
That seems like a solid way to go about things.
Yeah.
Out.
Yeah.
See y'all later.
See y'all.